Wow. I am not a Saul to. Wow. I just looked out my window and there is this cardinal just staring in this window. I'm sure he's not looking at me, but God speaks to me through birds. I think so does my husband. Sorry for the little squirrel moment there, but I had to share because I just lost my train of thought. Oh my goodness. God is amazing. And in my part of the world, spring is coming. The buds are coming out on the trees. Everything's starting to leaf out. It's so exciting. And I want all of you to look at that thing that you're struggling with and know that God is with you through all of it. I was reading the Bible readings today that we have in the Catholic Church. Everyone gets the same readings every day, including Sunday. And today, it was about Saul to Paul. That Saul had a miraculous healing after he lost his sight. We'll read that in a moment. Then Ananias came, laid his hands on him, which is a beautiful gift of healing. And then something like scales came off of his eyes, and the Holy Spirit filled him. So he was converted. A guy that was out there killing and bringing in all of the people that were following the way, which is who Jesus's followers were called, turns out to be one of the biggest evangelists, one of the best people out there to convert to Jesus's way. Okay, how many of you out there are wondering why you are not having a Saul to Paul type of healing? I had two. One in 2020, whoops, one in 2013, when Our Lady of Guadalupe, Mary, took me to Jesus to heal me after I read the 33 Days to Morning Glory Father Michael Gately book. I consecrated myself to Jesus through Mary, and she had such pity on me that she healed me from my marijuana addiction. Up until about late 2021, early 2022, where I started not going to daily mass. I wanted to be home with my husband who was retired, and I wasn't going to confession very frequently. When you run away from the sacraments of the Catholic Church and Jesus in the Eucharist, I wasn't also going to adoration very much. I was still praying. But my prayer was nothing like what it used to be when my husband worked and I had time alone. So I fell. And then I was healed on the second Sunday. I call this a miraculous healing, a Saul to Paul, because Jesus took care of not only my marijuana addiction, but my alcohol problem. I mean, let's face it, maybe I was addicted. I have no idea. I wasn't having a drink in the morning, but I certainly had a drink every day. And as the years went on in my journey, I was less and less like a drunk, I will tell you that. I was making progress, but I wasn't healed where I never want it again. I mean, like wine actually smells gross to me. And I remember when I was at a Legatus event, and I could smell exactly what every person had on their breath. I knew this one woman had wine. I didn't see the wine glass in her hand, but I could smell it on her. I knew another man had a beer. And I knew another person had a drink. I think it was vodka. Just amazing. And I used to think that I would fool people, like they wouldn't smell the pot on me, they wouldn't smell the alcohol on me. Okay. But the rest of my sins, my friends, I had to battle for a long, long time. It's very rare, saints even say this, to be healed like a Saul, Paul type of conversion. It's just a fact. But the saints also say that if you do it slowly and you continue to turn to God and you continue to go to confession, that there will be healing in God's time. So you may be like, God, why aren't you healing me now? I want this out of my life. Well, maybe you're not ready. Maybe you are not ready to be healed. Maybe you still have an attachment to that. Or maybe if you left this one thing, that you would just turn toward another thing. Or maybe there is sanctification that is going to happen with someone else who is going to witness this healing, and it's not time. So we all have to be patient, but we have to pay attention. We have to grab those thoughts before they become actions. Grab them and choke them and make them obedient to Jesus. What does that mean? Don't do it if Jesus says, don't do it. I know it sounds simple, and it really is. Because the more that we do what Jesus wants us to do in our lives, follow his commands, they're not suggestions, people. And if we continue to think about our eternal soul, our life in heaven or purgatory or hell, depending on what our sin is it really worth it? Is it worth it to have that 30 seconds? Gosh, I was going to say 1 minute, but if someone's climaxing for 1 minute, that's pretty amazing. That 1 minute or 30 second pornography view, and you have just opened your soul to demonic attacks. There is zero doubt, zero question. And whatever you've seen is now in your memory banks and can totally be used against you by Satan. While you are making love with your wife, all of a sudden you'll see a porn film or flick in your mind. I have had that happen. It's gross. It's disturbing. Okay, just keep going to Jesus, because he will eventually work with you. If you are willing and you are maybe at your last wit's end where you're just like, Lord, please help me with this. This is why we talk about soul, mind, and body, because it starts with a relationship with God. And it starts with us being humble and admitting that we don't have the will to do this. And then it starts with our mind by being conscious and aware of what we're doing, what we're thinking, what we're saying. Do not allow yourself to go into fantasy land or with lustful thoughts about someone that you're seeing, or even going into your mind and watching that porn film. Having your body get aroused, like, don't even entertain it. Grab that thought. And again, make it obedient to Jesus, because the more you fight, the easier it will be. The more you can turn your eyes away from things that you are looking at that you shouldn't be looking at, the better you will be, step by step, day by day. And then last but not least, the body will not react because you won't let it. Sometimes we let our thoughts just go crazy. And this could be not about mortal sin or things about lust and sex and pornography and adultery and that kind of stuff. It could be about you being resentful and lacking forgiveness towards someone. And you just keep thinking about how angry you are at them and how bad they treated you. And you just start killing yourself on the inside because you are not producing positive, good reactions in your body. You are literally killing your body, because when we go into that anger and that resentment, we create different chemicals in our body. We haven't talked about that in a long time. I'll get back to that one. But I want to remind us of this Saul to Paul and the gospel, because it wouldn't be me if I didn't go to the gospel and reiterate what I found to be true. Okay, so the first reading, Acts 9, verse 1 through 20. Saul, still breathing murderous threats against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for the letters to the synagogues in Damascus, that if he should find any men or women who belong to the way, he might bring them back to Jerusalem in chains. On his journey, as he was nearing Damascus, a light from the sky suddenly flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" He said, "Who are you, sir?" The reply came, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, for they heard the voice, but could see no one. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand, brought him to Damascus, and for 3 days he was unable to see, and he neither ate nor drank. There was a disciple in Damascus named Ananias, and the Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias." He answered, "Here I am, Lord." The Lord said to him, "Get up and go to the street called Straight and ask at the house of Judas for a man from Tarsus named Saul. He is there praying, and in a vision he has seen a man named Ananias come and lay his hands on him that he might regain his sight." Okay, this is the best. Ananias is questioning God's plan, which I love. Here we go. But Ananias replied, "Lord, I have heard from many sources about this man, what evil things he has done to your holy ones in Jerusalem. And here he has authority from chief priests to imprison all who call upon your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for this man is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles, kings, and children of Israel. And I will show him what he will have to suffer for my name." So Ananias went and entered the house, laying his hands on him. He said, "Saul, my brother, the Lord has sent me, Jesus, who appeared to you on the way by which you came, that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately, things like scales fell from his eyes and he regained his sight. He got up and was baptized, and when he had eaten, he recovered his strength. He stayed some days with the disciples in Damascus, and he began at once to proclaim Jesus in the synagogues, that he is the Son of Man. Are you out there proclaiming that he's the Son of Man? Are you out there proclaiming that Jesus is the Savior of the world? I mean, let's take note and be a little bit more like Saul, who was filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay, the responsorial psalm says, "Go out to all the world and tell the good news." That's Psalm 117. We got to go. We got to go to the gospel, because that's who I am. That's what I'm here for, is to spread the faith. Okay, the Alleluia, which is the response before we get to the gospel, says, and that's John 6:56, "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him, says the Lord." All right, here we go. John 6:52-59. The Jews quarreled among themselves, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Now you got to remember the kosher way that the Jews lived. They didn't have blood on anything. They had specific ways that they could kill animals. They had certain animals and fish and things like that that they could not eat. So for Jesus to say, "You have to eat my flesh and drink my blood," and he meant it literally. At this moment, in this Bible verse, in the gospel here, they're quarreling among themselves, saying again, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you." When you hear amen, amen, you better pay attention. "Amen, amen, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I have life because of the Father, so also the one who feeds on me, people. You gotta eat the Eucharist. By the way, the Eucharist is both body, blood, soul, and divinity. You don't have to have wine that gets converted into blood. You don't need both. All species is in one or the other. I digress. Let me go back. Just as the living Father sent me, and I have life because of the Father, so also the one who feeds on me will have life because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Unlike your ancestors who ate and still died, whoever eats this bread will live forever. These things he said while teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. Like, Jesus isn't messing around. I'm going to go right where the Jews are, and I'm going to share with them that I am the Messiah. I am the Savior, and this is how you will be saved. Now, do I believe that other Christians who are not Catholic are going to hell? Personally, I believe that God has mercy on every soul. But I believe that people who hear things and don't turn and research and learn on their own and just deny it, that to me is like sticking up your hand to Jesus and say, talk to the hand there, buddy. Because we all have got the Bible. By the way, the Bible came from the saints in the Catholic Church. Okay? Started all with Catholicism, which was supposed to be the universal church. And then Luther spun off in 1500 years after Jesus handed the keys to Peter to be the first vicar of Christ, the first pope. Yes, there wasn't a building, but they had the Eucharist and the Mass, and everything was the same. This is why the Catholic Church doesn't change. This is why we don't change with the times, get with the world. No. Now, why do I think that Jesus wanted us to eat his body and drink his blood? Because back then, there was a lot of child sacrifice. There are two bloodlines, if you know anything about the Bible from the very beginning. Cain and Abel. These are the sons of Adam and Eve. And Cain killed Abel. Why? Because he was jealous of Abel. Because Abel was looked down upon by God with good favor. So when Abel would bring his offering to God, he had animals. Cain tilled the earth and grew vegetables and things like that. When Abel would bring his offering to Jesus, he brought the perfect animal. Not one that was limp or the small little runt in the group. He brought the best to God as a sacrifice. And Cain just gathered up whatever he could, probably the rotten produce and all that kind of stuff, and just put it at the thing, you know, here, God. And so Cain was ticked off at Abel and killed him. Now there's the bloodline of the Canaanites. They were evil. They were taking babies and sacrificing them. No doubt they were eating them. Cannibalism, yes. That's not what we're doing in the Catholic Church. So many people think, oh, you're cannibalizing Jesus. If that wasn't the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus, then why would the evil Satanists take the Eucharist and steal it from the Catholic Church in order to do what they call a black mass? And during that, they would make a parody of the mass, and they would poop on Jesus, they would urinate on Jesus, they would defecate him, they would have sex on the altar, they were probably murdering children. You might say, what? People, there are true Satanists in this world, and they sacrifice things to their god, Lucifer. abortion is another child sacrifice. It's just made normal in the world now. And trust me, I used to think abortion was fine. I have a video on that on my YouTube channel. Just search abortion, but where the O's are, put in zeros, because I was trying to beat the algorithms, you know, because YouTube censors so much stuff. I got plenty of videos that have been where I've been taken down because I'm telling truth and they don't want the truth out there. So we receive Jesus, number one, because he tells us. He tells us in the Bible that if we don't receive and eat, gnaw on, chew his body and blood, we have no life in us. And this is protection. We're not cannibalizing Jesus. He offered his body and all of his precious blood up for our sins. And I need that protection. I just got done telling you how when I went away from it and I only received Jesus on Sunday, I let my armor of God down. So, the Catholic Church is the church that Jesus handed off. Anyone have any questions? Let me know. My biggest ask of all of you is to go out and look up Eucharistic miracles. Eucharistic. That's how you spell Eucharistic. Miracles. And get lost in it. I found that the first week when I was in my journey. The reason I did was because I looked up in the Mass. I wanted to know what people said. Peace be with you. And I always said, and also with you. But they changed that. So when the priest says, peace be with you, we say, and with your spirit. And when you learn about the Mass, you see that everything is taken from the Old Testament. When you look at the Old Testament and the New Testament, it's all being fulfilled through Jesus. He is the Messiah. Through all what the prophets said in the Old Testament, it's Jesus. And they do say we have to eat the bread of life. It's not just a symbol. Okay. I love you all. I've got to get rolling. I'm so excited. Going to have some coffee with an old friend, Cindy Morales. I don't know if you know John Morales. He's the host of the Morning Air Show, and his wife and I are going to catch up, and I've got lots of things going on, a couple coaching calls. It's just an exciting, invigorating day. The sun is out. We've had a couple of days of yucky rain. I don't know about you, but when the sun's out, I feel so different. But I just could not do like Arizona with the sun out all the time. I don't know. There's something nice about the changing of the weather. Anyway. I love you all. Find something more with God. Jesus, the Eucharist, the Catholic faith. And really, I'm not trying to get this into people's faces, but this is what I do. I like to share what I learned. Oh, one more thing I wanted to say. I kind of felt like I was a Paul out there. I wasn't persecuting people that liked Christ or who were what I would call Jesus freaks. But it was weird. It was uncomfortable for me to see someone wear a cross or show their faith. That just goes to show how much my life was filled with evil, with adulterous behavior, sleeping around, smoking and drinking and doing every drug I could find, not to mention watching pornography and just living a selfish, selfish life. Me, myself, and I was my Holy Trinity. But God used that for me. God wanted me to live that life so that I could share it with all of you. And how much freedom there is when he helps heal us and turns us away from that sin. That is the freedom. You out there who are struggling with sin are slaves to sin, slaves. So turn to Jesus for that freedom. Like, get on your knees. Sit in front of the Eucharist in adoration. Go to a Catholic church. I don't care who you are. Walk in there, kneel down at the very front of that altar, because hopefully right behind it is a tabernacle, which is a big gold box of some sort. Jesus is in there. I remember a friend of mine did that. She was Catholic. We're always Catholic. Once Catholic, always Catholic. And then she turned away and never went back. But I said, just go to a Catholic church. She said, I don't know what happened, but all I could do was cry. That's because your soul knows you're in the presence of God. It's amazing. All right, everyone. I'm going to end it now. Find something more with God, soul, mind, and body. And have a blessed and inspired day.